The industry study that Julie Ravner referred to was conducted by the accounting firm PricewaterhouseCoopers, and it estimates that if four provisions of the Senate Finance Committee bill become law, insurance premiums would go up much faster than under the present system. Over the next 4 years, they estimate a 40% increase as opposed to a 26% increase. Over the next 10 years, they say a 111% increase as opposed to a 79% increase. Well, those numbers were pounced on by some advocates of health care reform. The White House called the study distorted and flawed. AARP called it a hatchet job. Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts seized on the report today as evidence of the insurance industry's intentions.
It's a powerful argument, frankly, for why we ought to have a public plan. It's a powerful argument for the attitude of an industry towards this effort. And there's an old saying that if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Well, by that reasoning, we have a very problematic guest with us right now. Karen Ignani is president of America's Health Insurance Plans, AHIP, the trade group that commissioned the PricewaterhouseCoopers report. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
And first, is your reading of this report that if a bill like the Senate Finance Committee bill becomes law, then everyone's premiums will cost a lot more than they would cost if no bill at all were passed?
It is. And the reason for that is that if we don't have everybody into the insurance pool, it will be a strong incentive for the younger and healthier people not to purchase coverage. Costs will continue to soar for those who remain in the market. Our position is very clear. We strongly believe in health reform, but we need to get everybody in, and we need to make cost containment a major part of this effort.
But PricewaterhouseCoopers, the firm that did the study, issued a statement in which they say they considered four elements of the Senate Finance Committee proposal, and they added, I'm quoting now, the reform packages under consideration have other provisions that we have not included in this analysis. We have not estimated the impact of the new subsidies on the net insurance cost to households. And then they go on to say, also, if other provisions in health care reform are successful in lowering costs over the long term, those improvements would offset some of the impacts that we have estimated. They seem to be saying, we looked only at some factors, and this is a very high side estimate as a result.
Actually, there are a number of other firms that have looked at what happened in the states. So this projection is very much in line with that body of evidence, number one. Taking the subsidy point, number two, 42% of people who are going to, who are now in the individual market have incomes much higher than the subsidy level, which is 400% of poverty.
Of the poverty level.
If you have a constant spiraling up because we are financing this legislation through additional taxes and fees, it's a ratcheting up of the cost of those subsidies. So our point is that let's focus now on getting everybody in, and then let's focus on the cost so that we can make sure this is affordable in the end.
Tell me if I have this right. The thing that worries your group, the big health insurance companies, about the Senate Finance Committee bill is that the penalties that people would pay for remaining uninsured are not as great as they were in a prior version of the bill. And therefore, you think that more people who are uninsured now would remain uninsured and not increase the pool of those who would be contributing premiums into your companies?
I think that a number...
But do I have that
yes,
right, though?
You have it right. In the Senate Finance latest proposal, there is no penalty in year one, a de minimis penalty year two, et cetera. And we think that there are a number of other ways to get everybody involved. If politicians feel they can't go down the penalty route, we've been working very hard with members of Congress to identify alternatives.
But just to deal with the penalty route for a moment, if indeed the penalty that people would have to pay for not getting health insurance were up at around $3,000 a year or so, and we're talking about people with incomes of $40,000 a year, you'd be asking the Senate Finance Committee to pass the equivalent of one of the hugest tax increases on middle-income earners in America that we've seen in ages.
Well, that's why I listened very carefully to what the Senate Finance discussion was, and we have been very busy on identifying alternatives to penalties. So I understand your point is a very legitimate one. I heard the debate. We need to make sure that everyone is in. We need to do that in a reasonable but effective way.
The PricewaterhouseCoopers report contrasted the Senate Finance Committee bill with the system unchanged as it is right now. Do you assume that the system will be changed after this session of Congress?
That it is, needs will there to be changed.
It needs to be changed. Just the possibility of the outcome from the 1990s, that there would not be any
I don't see that happening at
doesn't
all.
Doesn't seem at all likely.
I don't see that happening.
Karen Ignani, president of America's Health Insurance Plans, a big industry group here in Washington, thank you very much for talking with
us. Thank you.